All righty, y'all. We are back and excited to finish our series, as you saw in that bumper, Level Up. And what we've been talking about, if you're new with us, or maybe you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, what we've been talking about is basically just how to live as a committed Christian in a life, in a world that is really opposed to Christianity. How do you follow God and commit yourself to God and not settle for just going through the motions of your faith? And one thing we know to be true about life as a teenager is that it is hard growing up. It's hard to be a teenager. Can I get an amen? Right? Amen. Some of you guys are like, it's pretty easy. But it's hard. You got to deal with teachers and grades and parents and school and pressure and identity and all these other things. And we believe that following Christ, following Jesus, is the life of worth living. And so we want to teach you what it means to take your faith to the next level, how to level up in your faith. And so if you're taking notes, that's what we're talking about, is how to take your faith really to the next level and live as a committed Christ follower. Before we jump in, I thought I'd play a little game with you guys, you know, get us warmed up. I know we just sat down, but, you know, I thought we'd just play a little game I like to call. You've probably never heard of it. It's called Simon Says. All right? So what we're going to do is we're going to play a little game called Simon Says. Now, here is the rules about Simon Says. I don't know if you guys probably played, maybe heard of this game before. It's really popular. But basically, I'm just going to share with you guys an action, and I'm going to say before it, Simon Says. And if the only time you can do what I ask you to do is if I say Simon Says. If Simon didn't say, you can't do it. All right, so what's going to happen is everyone's going to stand up. You're going to stand up for me. All right, if you stood up, Simon didn't say, you're immediately out. All right, Simon didn't say. I told you the rules. I warned you guys. I warned you. I tried. I literally tried. I told you. Simon didn't tell you to stand up. All right. So you are out if you stood up. All right, if you're still in, you can go ahead and stand up. If you're still in, go ahead and stand up. All right, Simon didn't say. I was just testing you again. You're out. Thank you. All righty. So Simon says stand up if you are still in. I know a few of y'all are lying, so here's what I want you guys to do. Can you guys point out who is actually out? Point them out if they're still out. Point them out. If you're pointing, you're out, because Simon didn't say. Simon didn't tell you to point. If you're pointing at somebody, you are out. Hey, all of y'all, give yourself a round of applause. That was awesome. Hey. There we go. We are done with the game. Simon says sit down. Simon says sit down. You guys are great at that game. Amazing. Amazing. I thought I'd get actually more of y'all, so y'all are really good. Okay. Hey, so the reason that we play that game, we're not just playing it just because it's a fun game, but the reason we play that game is because the game is pretty simple. I just said you just have to follow what Simon says. You simply have to follow the leader. But it's actually pretty hard to carry out. And this morning, we're going to be talking about something that's simple to understand, but it's pretty hard to carry out. What we're talking about this morning is simply following leadership in our lives. What does it mean to follow authority? What does it mean to listen to authority in our lives? Because the reality is a lot of you guys have authority all around us, all around you. You have teachers and parents, and you have principals and coaches. You have different people telling you what to do. And the problem is, not just for you guys, but for me, we have authority issues. Because we don't like to be told what to do. Am I right? We like to be in charge. We like to do what we want to do. We don't want somebody else telling us what to do. We want to simply take ownership and do whatever we want to do and be the ultimate leader. And so we want to talk this morning about how do you deal with this pressure that we all feel about responding to people who tell us what to do. And what does God's word say about authority in our lives? Because it's so important. And here's the reality. I know you're probably thinking with an eye roll, yeah, the youth pastor's telling me to listen to my parents. Yeah, he's probably telling me to listen and obey. But what's true about you and what's true about me is we all have authority in our lives that God has orchestrated and put in place for our benefit. And so how do we respond to that in a way that's loving and kind that makes us stand out as Christians? And so if you're following along, if you're taking notes, we're going to talk about three ways that authority is effective in our lives, or three ways that God has designed authority in our lives. And the first way, if you're taking notes, first way is that leaders are given to us by God. Leaders are given to us by God. And I'll explain what this means. It's found in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. It just says, "For all authority comes from God." And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. And so what Paul is saying in this passage is he's saying that every authority figure in your life, maybe teachers or parents or small group leaders or church leaders or pastors, all authority in your life has been placed there and positioned there by God. That's pretty crazy to understand that God has put people in places of positions of leadership for a reason. And then it goes on to say in verse 2, it says, so anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. So he's saying that this is because God has put this in place, because God is ultimately in control. If we ignore leaders in our life, if we rebel, we actually have a God problem. What we're actually doing is rebelling against God. And so it's so important for us to respond to authority in the right way. That's what it says in verse 2. So when I was thinking about this, when I was thinking about these verses, I was thinking about a decision I made a few months ago with my wife. We decided to get a dog, all right? Wow. Dog people in here. All right. So we got a brown labradoodle. His name is Captain. We have a picture of him. Here he's on the screen. There he is. Oh, man, just so cute. A fur ball. We have a picture of him and my son, actually, as well. There he is. He's licking my son's cheek. He's so cute. Guys, this dog was cute for the first month, but this dog quickly turned into a devil dog, where it has simply ravaged our house, turned our house, and basically ripped everything up. What he does is he loves to go around, tear the furniture up, tear my shoes up, poop in the yard, poop in the house, pee in the house, rip everything up, run away, dig holes. The problem with this dog is he does not want to listen, right? And so my wife and I are like, we're going to figure this thing out. So we watched all the videos, we talked to all the experts, we got him training. And what we learned ultimately is that this dog wants to be in charge, right? That's ultimately what this dog wants to do. He doesn't want to respond to authority. He wants to be in charge. And I think that is such a good illustration for us, because I want to be in charge and we want to be in charge. We don't love authority. We want freedom from rules because we believe freedom from authority, freedom from rules means that we have more freedom. And that is not true at all. I want to break that down because what this passage says is that God has put people in positions of leadership for a reason, for a specific reason. And this is the lie that we truly believe and the truth that we believe. Here's the lie that we believe. I want you guys to write this down because these are really helpful. The lie that we believe about leadership is that we can choose the authority we are under. And so what we do is we just basically like, I'm going to choose who I want to listen to. I'm not going to listen to this person. I'm not going to listen to this person. I'm just going to choose who I want to listen to. That's the lie we believe. And the truth we believe, the truth we need to believe, is that God has chosen the authority over us. That God has chosen the authority over us. Is the lie we believe is we could choose the authority we are under. And the truth is that God has chosen the authority over us. And so what would happen with Captain, that dog? He's now 5 months. He thinks that freedom means he's going to run away. And so we actually have to cage him in and make sure he doesn't run away. And he thinks if he runs away, what would happen is actually he wouldn't get fed. He would be in danger of being probably attacked by another animal. He might get run over by a car. He might struggle to get food and actually get provided for and have safety. What freedom means to him is actually not freedom at all. It brings more bondage, all right? And in our mind, we think freedom means moving away from authority. But in reality, freedom means having authority in our life, that we'll have more authority when we're under authority. And that's what it's saying in Romans chapter 13, because Romans chapter 13 is saying that God has given us authority for a purpose. And so leaders are given to us by God. Second thing I want you to realize is that leaders are given to us to honor. Leaders are given to us to honor. What honor simply means is to regard or treat someone with admiration and respect. And so we're going to be in the book of 1 Peter with this section right here. And the book of 1 Peter was written to a group of Christians who are being persecuted for their faith. All right? So what's happening right here is there's this guy named King Nero. And King Nero is a bad dude. All right? King Nero kills Christians. He's killed members of his family. He manipulates people. He's fed Christians to lions. This is what's happening in the context of this book. King Nero's in charge, and he is a bad leader, all right? And so 1 Peter is about Peter writing this group of people and telling them, how do they respond to bad leadership, all right? How do they respond when they feel like leadership's being unfair or leaders in our life are being unfair? And here's what he says about responding to bad leadership, because this is really convicting. He says in verse 17 of chapter 2, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. So what he is saying is, in my mind, if they're reading this, they're probably, hey, this is a typo. What do you mean? These leaders are being unfair in our lives. How can I honor these people? They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. Why would I show honor to them? And he's saying is, what you're doing when you honor leadership is you're actually honoring God. And so it doesn't matter if they deserve it. I think our tendency is to easily point fingers and say, hey, this teacher's unfair. They're giving me tests that are unfair. They're giving me grades that I don't like. They're unfair. They're treating me different than somebody else, or our parents are giving us too much chores. This is just unfair and harsh. And we simply blame them and point fingers and focus on the wrong in their life. And what he is saying right here is any leadership over you, your goal should be to honor everyone. Honor everyone. And so honoring authority has nothing to do with the goodness of that authority. It's simply because our goal is to honor God. It's to honor God. So I know I don't have to raise hands or do a show of hands, but I know most of you guys in this room have probably had a bad teacher in your life. Or you've had somebody in your life, a leader over you, has told you, maybe like a coach who said, hey, you got to sit on the bench. You don't get as much playing time as you want. Or a parent who said, hey, you got to come home early. You have a curfew. And you'd probably complain and whine and been mad about it. All right? We've probably all experienced that. And what that verse is telling us is that a goal as Christians should not be to criticize, to condemn, to talk bad about, to use our words to hurt, to go point fingers or shift blame or be angry, but it should be to simply show respect, to show honor. And we do that by choosing our words wisely. So here's what I want you guys to understand about honor, is that honor doesn't mean we always agree with them. So your parents might say something you don't always agree with. That's okay. But it means that we always appreciate them. We understand the role that they are in, and we're going to appreciate them with our words. That's what honor means. And so I think the temptation for us is to maybe show respect to our parents or leaders or teachers in our life until it becomes unfair to us, until we believe that rule doesn't apply to us. The example that I would give this was a few years back, but I saw this video on my phone, and I thought it was a good example. But a few years back, my wife and I went to a musical in New York. We were with family, we were on a trip, and we went to a musical. I knew this musical was going to be like 3.5 hours long. I don't love musicals because they're so long. I get a little bit bored. And so I knew in the middle of the musical, I was going to get hungry, all right? But they had a rule that you cannot bring outside snacks into the place, the theater, wherever it was being shown. And I was like, hey, I don't know if I agree with that. I'm going to get hungry. I need some calories. I don't want to be hangry. And so I decided, you know, maybe I just bring just a bag of popcorn in with me. You know, I can easily get that in. And so here's a video of me trying and failing. My wife actually got this on video. And this is not my proudest moment, but this guy discovers a bag of popcorn in my jacket right here. And so I have to go throw it away. And it's actually really funny. The guy was laughing about it. But that's a small example of what we do a lot of the times, that we think that rules only apply to us when they're fair. As soon as we believe they're unfair, then we're just like, I'm just going to disobey. So what I mean by that, say your parents or say a teacher maybe says, hey, I want you to work on this paper alone. And then you're like, this paper is way too hard. This is unfair. I'm going to go cheat off somebody else. Or maybe a parent says, hey, I want you to just go clean your room. And you're like, this is unfair. I'm too tired. Like, I don't want to do this right now. And so what do? Is you go stuff everything in your closets and under your bed, right? Or maybe a small group leader challenges you guys to ask for somebody's forgiveness. And you're like, no, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm okay. I don't want to do that. I think it's unfair. We simply obey until we believe it's unfair, and then we stop there. And the goal of this verse, we're going to see as we go up further in this verse, is that we're called to honor everyone. We're submitting to local authority. We're submitting to our authority. Here's what it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 14 and 15. 1 Peter 2, verse 14 and 15. It says, here's why you honor authority. It says, for the Lord's sake. Right here, it just starts. For the Lord's sake, meaning that you don't do it to be a teacher's pet. You don't do it to look good. You don't do it to get your parents off your back. You're doing it to simply show respect to the Lord. It's for the Lord's sake. Then it goes on to say, submit to all authority, whether the king as head of the state or the officials he has appointed. And here's the part I want you to focus on right here. He says, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. So what he's saying right here, this is powerful. This is powerful. He is saying that when you choose to use your words well, to show respect to those people who are in charge, what you are doing is you are being a light in a dark world, that people are going to see the character of God being displayed through your actions and want to give glory to God through what you do. So my question for you guys this morning is this, is do people know you follow God by the way that you follow authority? Do people know that you follow God by the way that you honor authority? If that's the only way that people see God is through the way that you talk about people in your life, leaders in your life, do people know that you follow God? And some questions that I thought through, an example of this, because I think this is the temptation, is before you talk about a leader in your life, maybe it's a teacher or a parent, before you talk about them, would you be telling the story if they were here? Ask yourself that. Am I hiding this conversation from anyone? And would I want somebody else to talk this way about me if I were not in the room? That's a good question. Would I want someone else to talk this way about me if I were not in the room? How do you guys talk about leaders in your life? We should talk about them like they were in the room. So here's a lie. We should rebel against leaders we don't respect. That's the lie. We should rebel against them. And the truth is that we should respect leaders even when we want to rebel. Even when we feel like it's unfair or there's been a misunderstanding or they're being harsh or we don't get along or we feel like they don't deserve it, we should simply respect them because they have been in authority or placed in authority by God. All right? Even when we want to rebel, we should respect them and show honor to them. And so here is something I just want to insert right here because this is the reality, is that since God is the highest authority, the only time you would be able to disobey a leader is if it meant disobeying God. Like a great question to ask yourself if somebody in your life told you to do something, the simple question you'd ask yourself is, what would God have me do? All right? What would God have me do? And if God wouldn't have you do that thing, then it's okay to not follow their lead. All right? Because God is the highest authority. And leaders are not supposed, we're not supposed to follow leaders into sin. So God is our ultimate authority. Does it match up with what God's word has to say? So the last point as we move on and close our time is this, is that not only should we honor certain leaders in our life, not only do we understand that leaders are there and put in positions because of God, we should also look for leaders to follow. We should look for leaders to follow, that leaders are given to us to follow. Specific leaders in our life are given to us to follow. And I'm talking about your small group leaders right here. Because this is what Hebrews 13:7 just says. It's a truth that's one of my favorite verses that I would encourage you to memorize. It's this, that remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So it gives you three commands right here. Number one is that you remember the people and the leaders around you. That you, as students, have leaders in your life that are weekly teaching the word of God to you, who show up to group every week, who have families and jobs and other things that they could be doing, but they want to teach you God's word. And we should remember that. We should understand that they are sacrificing their time and energy in order to help you follow Christ. That's crazy. And then we should consider the outcome of their way of life. Like, we should get to know them. If you do not know your small group leader's name, that's a problem. If you don't know your small group leader's last name, that's a problem. Like, you should ask your leader questions. Maybe ask them, and some of you guys are asking them questions right now, which I love. But one thing, hey, bring it back. We're almost done. Bring it back. Bring it back with me. We're almost done. Look at you guys. You're already living out this command. You're getting to know your leaders. So the encouragement here is that you would get to know your leaders. They're trying to encourage you and influence in your faith. Influence you in your faith. And the last thing is just to imitate their faith. Like, a lot of us love to imitate people we admire. That's why we buy jerseys. That's why we have Disney characters that we really like. Or that's why as younger kids we wanted to dress up and be a police officer or firefighters, because we love to imitate people we admire. But guess what? What if we chose to imitate a Christ follower? What if we chose to follow after a leader who was following after Christ? What would happen then? Like, that would change our life. And that would be amazing. And so here's the lie, and then here's the truth. The lie is, we believe that we can follow the lead of ourselves. We believe we can do it on our own. We believe we don't need godly leaders speaking into our life. And the truth is, we can lead by following others. The truth is, we can lead by following others. And so I want to close with this scripture, and it's found in the book of Matthew. And here's what's happening. We even talked about this in worship. But here's what's happening in this chapter. Jesus is submitting to the will of his Father. I want to just give you guys a quick vision of who Jesus is. Jesus is the most impactful, influential leader of all time. That the Bible is the best-selling book of all time. Jesus is considered the greatest leader that ever walked the face of the earth. And what Jesus does in this verse is he obeys authority. That he honors authority. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. I love that verse, because what he's doing is, hey, no matter if it's awkward, no matter if it's hard, no matter if it's unfair, no matter if it's our teachers don't understand or our parents don't understand or we're mad or we feel like they're being harsh, no matter what happens, here's what Jesus says, not as I will, but you will. That the greatest leader in the world was the greatest follower in the world. And here's what I want you guys to take away and write down about this talk, is that if you want to be a great leader, we must be great followers. If you want to be a great leader, if you want to have influence and impact and encouragement in the lives of other students, then you have to understand how to follow Jesus and then how to follow other godly leaders. That's our encouragement for this morning. That's what Jesus did, that he submitted to the will of his Father, even when it was hard. He went to the cross on our behalf. And our desire can be now to follow his lead and then follow the lead of other godly leaders. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you that you went to the cross on our behalf, that we have a gift that has been given to us freely through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray that we would be encouraged by the way and the character of Jesus, that whenever we feel unfair, feel like misunderstood by leaders in our life, I pray we look to you and understand what it looks like to honor authority, even when it's hard. Lord, we love you. I pray that this time would be an encouragement to students as they walk away. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.